Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with health and nutrition coach Brooke Masters. Brooke and I spoke about the impact of cortisol and fat loss, the challenge of shifting your mindset in the menopause transition, and how to maintain weight loss over the holidays and vacations. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode with someone who might find it helpful. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes. Now onto my conversation with Brooke. Brooke Masters, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
I'm
Good to be here.
I'm excited to chat with you about all things coaching, whether that's in regards to hormones, maintaining weight loss results, setting goals. We have so much to talk about. But
Yeah.
first of all, I'd love to hear from you. What are you excited for the listener to learn today?
Yeah, I would say, you know, when I listen to podcasts, I'm always excited to learn something that I didn't have knowledge about before, or something that I could utilize into my current programming or my current plan or what I'm currently doing to give it a shot and see if it might be something that could be helpful. So.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure everybody's going to be able to pick a couple of things out from our conversation, hopefully.
Hopefully,
But
yeah,
yeah, to
sure.
start off with, tell us who you are, how you got into coaching, and what makes you passionate about what you do.
Sure. So my husband and I actually coach together, and we now have a team. How we got started, we literally started a boot camp in the mall, had a little bit of a following, started when COVID hit. We tried to help these clients with nutrition and not just coaching and the boot camp, obviously. And it just kind of spiraled and started having referrals and helping other people, and it just went well. And then I had my own battle with my change in hormones and going through perimenopause and menopause, and learned as much as I could about what I was going through. And now that I have been through this, it's been really helpful for me as a coach that I can help people because I've been through it. I've been through and I had quite the journey myself. So being able to help somebody, because at the time I felt really lost and scared and not in control of anything. So being able to give people the tools has been super helpful for me.
Oh, I love that. It sounds so practical. And I mean, so often our own personal experience really shapes how we're able to coach others and just what,
Yeah.
how we can also be more empathetic and like really understand because we've literally been there. So I'm really curious. Maybe you want to share a bit about your own journey when it comes to menopause. And I know by the time that this airs, that you have had a menopause master class. So hopefully you'll run that again at some point in the future. But maybe you can touch on some of the main things that you're going over in that master class as well.
Yeah, I think the main thing in the beginning when I was going through it, I didn't put together all of the symptoms that I was going through, right? I started having like weight gain. It wasn't really anything changed about my food or my nutrition. So I wasn't really understanding what was going on. But then I started having, because everyone thinks menopause and it's just night sweats, but I was having vertigo. I was, could not remember what was going on 1 second to the next. I was struggling with putting on muscle. I was having really bad joint pain. My skin changed. My hair changed. I was, it's kind of like all of these weird symptoms. I mean, multiple times I've tried to go to doctors. I went to a cardiologist because I was having heart palpitations, anxiety. And for me, it was not knowing what was going on. So in the masterclass, what I tried to share is what exactly is happening in the body and why you see these different symptoms. And we also went over different ways that you can mitigate these shifts and these changes, because some of the things, there are going to be fluctuations. That's what happens during perimenopause. You have these fluctuations in estrogen. But for me, it was knowing what was happening that really kept me like, okay, so I don't have a brain tumor. I don't have to go and have an MRI done. You know, all of the things, I didn't have to have that cardiac workup because the heart palpitations were just part of this, you know. So being able to share what's going on, how to mitigate through it, understanding that there will be ups and downs, and also giving practical tips and exercises and things that they could be doing with their nutrition, training, and lifestyle management to be able to move through these things.
What are some of the main practical applications that have helped you navigate that? Like once you learned, okay, I am in the midst of this, I'm going through the transition. Did you shift anything when it came to how you ate, your training,
Yep,
and all of that?
for sure. For sure. Because before, when I mean, at least me growing up, we were taught cut calories, push harder in the gym, training, 6, 7 days a week plus cardio, and what I explain to women is we don't have the same systems, right? Our bodies don't mitigate that stress in the same way. And being in a deficit is a stressor. Overtraining is a stressor. Our bodies need more recovery. So what I had to do is I learned about being able to recover the body after a fat loss phase, being able to adjust my training to where my calories were. And cardio, it's not about the high intensity anymore. It is more about just that steady state and really listening to your body. When it comes to the most impactful, I would say it's definitely stress management. It's definitely for me, that was my trigger, is I was constantly, as a mom specifically, and I know that there's a lot of women I speak to that their life was, I'm going to take care of my kids, I take care of the house, I take care of my job, I do all of the things, and we could. But as we start moving into this transition, our bodies don't have the same capacity. Our bodies don't have the same buffers that we had before. So when you're used to doing all the things and you think that you can continue to do all the things, but your body is not allowing it, it's that part to say, okay, boundaries. I need to say, okay, you know what? My kids are old enough, they can start taking care of themselves, or I need to start asking for help. And that's really hard, I mean, for so long, I've just done all the things and asking for help. A lot of times, and I speak to women that you feel like you're not able to do it anymore. And that's also kind of like hurtful. You think that I failed, I can't do it anymore. And we have to really shift and see, I can do all the things. I just need to set myself up to be able to do it. So for me now is my sleep is priority. Like, there is no, well, we're going out. Nope. Like, I need to, if I'm going out and I have to stay out later, I'm going to have to sleep in the next day or I can't. Making sure that when I have all the things to do with work, taking time and stepping away, going for a walk outside, when I find myself getting that stressed, understanding to really listen to your body, whereas before I didn't have to, I just knew I can handle it. And now I really have to pay closer to attention to, how am I feeling? Am I able to train today? I know I really want to get to the gym. And mentally, the gym is a lot of times our place that we can feel strong and we can push. But we also have to say, okay, I know I want to do that. But right now, my body's telling me I need a rest day. And I can go back tomorrow and be able to do it, And with training specifically, I think something for me that was hard is resting in between sets. Because I do like pushing heavy. I do like, and I tell women, pushing heavy is great, but watching your form and making sure you are putting in enough rest. Because that rest between sets to be able to bring your heart rate back down is what is going to allow you to push harder and see the best results for sure.
I really don't think people talk enough about that mindset shift that has to occur throughout the menopause transition or should occur throughout the menopause transition. And I like how you put that in regards to, hey, we still have the resources. It's not like we're failing. We just need to organize them differently and make sure we're inserting more rest and starting also to live from more of a place of like, what does my body need? What do I need? And not just from a place of service to others, which I mean, we're all about like wanting to help and serve others, but yeah, you do need to learn to, and that is a practice, a continued practice, I'm sure, for everybody to learn to put boundaries into place. And like just like you said, it might not be fun all the time to be that person that's like, well, if we're going out at 8 or 9 o'clock, go without me, or I need to rearrange my schedule the next day.
For
It
sure, for
doesn't sound
sure.
nice, but yeah, it is what it is. You need to have your priorities in place, and in the end, our health and how we feel just lays the foundation for everything. So I really, really I like that. I like how you emphasize also that there is no, especially in that transition, there is no rule, no one size. Like, nobody can just be like, okay, we're in menopause transition. Everybody should be taking 500 milligrams of blah, blah, and should not do blah, blah, because it is an ebb and flow. And I think sometimes that not knowingness or that having to ride the waves is more difficult than like
For
knowing
sure.
if somebody had like this blueprint of like year one, go into the supplement, reduce your training to 4 days. Re year two, go into the supplement, and you know, like what, like if we had that for the menopause transition, I think everybody would be like, oh, this is the holy grail. But unfortunately, it is so different for every woman that I have spoken to or that I've worked with, and it seems to be the case for you as well. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I want to stay on the topic of stress because I know you're also passionate talking about cortisol and its role on fat loss in general. So even outside of the menopause phase in life, or for women, also applicable to men, what role does stress and cortisol play when it comes to fat loss?
Yeah, and I always explain to people that, each person, like you said, is very different, right? There's no two people that would have the same macros, even, right? Because everybody has a different history, everybody has different hormones, everybody has different things that are involved in their lifestyle. So you can't possibly say this is set for everybody. And supplements, like you mentioned, you can't just have supplements because if you don't fix the lifestyle things first, they won't work no matter what you do. So with cortisol, I explain to people the way that I kind of share it with people is number one, when you have a lion chasing you, right? Our bodies were designed to be able to run from that. We have that quick fight or flight response. So that glucose is sent into the system so they could run, right? Digestion slows down because we don't need to be eating while we're being chased by a lion. So, when you think about this and you're getting all of this glucose, if you are not running, if you are not doing the things, your body still gets it. So that is primarily part of the role that the issue with body composition that starts happening because you keep getting that and getting that and not utilizing it. But if you think about, people that have been dieting for a very long time and they're scared to recover the body and start bringing calories up, but think about when your body is in a deficit and you are training, and a lot of these women are doing high intensity training with, low calories, your body is working 24/7. Imagine being in a job that you are working 11-hour shifts, 7 or 12-hour shifts, 7 days a week, and somebody came to you and said, "You know what, girl? Like, let's take weekends off." You're like, "Whew, I can have a little bit of a break. Okay, I can do that." But then the next week they said, "You know what? Instead of 12-hour shifts Monday through Friday, I'm just going to do 8-hour shifts." Okay, so now I can get some stuff done. And then the next week they come in and say, "Okay, now we're just going to work 3 days. Then I'm only going to work 3 half days. Then I am going to give you the month off. Somebody is going to cook your food for you. You'll have a gym all to yourself, all the things." It's like the recovery phase after that fat loss, that's what it is. It's just slowly giving relief. And if you think about how you would feel after that month off, and your boss then came to you and said, "Hey, you know what, girl? Would you mind working 3/8?" You'd be like, "Psh, sure, I just had all this time off." So when you spend the time recovering the body, then if you ever wanted to go into a fat loss phase again, now your body has all the relaxation it's needed, right? It has the food and the nutrients that it needs to be able to function. You've had the time to put on muscle. It's had the rest and recovery, and now it trusts you again. So that way, when you are done, now your body will go into a fat loss phase. And now you've had your calories up high, so you don't have to push your body as hard. And that is the best way. That's what we do with our clients, is a lot of the women that are coming to us under eating, it's just giving you relief, and doing it in a way that they are able to. Most times they're losing body fat on the way up and even losing weight on the scale. But it's really just a matter of, even if your body weight stays the same and you're eating 5 to 1,000 calories more a day, your body is the same body weight. That has to mean your metabolism has sped up in order to get there. So that's where people start being a little bit more, not understanding, but really having faith in the process when they start saying, "Oh, you know what? I'm sleeping better. Oh my gosh, my energy is better. I'm going to the bathroom now." All of those things really give us the feedback that your body is getting what it needs and it is going to be more responsive when we get to the top.
Brooke, that's honestly the coolest metaphor I've ever heard when it comes to like
Oh,
reverse
cool.
dieting, when it comes to
Yeah.
this job, because for me it's like this is so clear. Like even in that scenario, if that boss was like A, you return to work and you'd be so much more excited to go to work as well. You'd be like, man, heck yeah, I have energy. I love this project. I'm diving in as opposed to sitting there for like 12 hours. And how productive are you actually during those 12 hours?
Correct.
And the same thing, like with weight loss, it might have slowed down to like basically stagnation, if at all, like anything kind of moving. Whereas then if you return to it and you're actually like restored, you're willing to put in the work as well. Or if that boss was like, hey, we have this huge project, but it's super exciting. Look at this. I have all trust and faith in you that you can do this. Are you willing to work a little overtime if necessary? You'd be like, heck yeah, I love my job, right? So
For sure.
I absolutely love that metaphor. And I mean, this is might be a good transition into like this time of years, since this is we're talking here for people are listening to this in the beginning of December. So you are also really big on, hey, we want to maintain our weight as best as possible over the course of the holidays. Maybe you can give us a few tips on that. I think you have a challenge on at the moment, maintain, don't gain. I love the title. And then going into like the new year, how can we approach the new year with the right mindset? How do you go about goal setting, et cetera?
So, during our challenge, like what we try to do is to show people when you are going into a weight loss journey, there are times that are going to be challenging, right? No matter what time of year, holidays more specifically, because you're going to have more people that are, come on, you can just do it this once. Oh my gosh. But understanding that when you do that and you get to the beginning of the year and now you've gained more weight during that time that you still have to lose just to start the year, I tell people this time of the year, you want to think about slowing down the train so you are just kind of coasting. You don't want to look for fat loss during this time and you don't want to look to gain. So, if you totally stop and just go off the rails, it's going to be much harder to kind of start that train up again. So rather than having to build up all that momentum in the beginning, that really isn't realistic of understanding some little habits that you can just keep in mind. So I tell people, when you're going to an event, don't go hungry. Just have what you normally would have had that day. And you think of some people have certain jobs. Like I worked in a hospital and there was candy everywhere. There was cakes everywhere, all the things. So you really have to kind of plan and say, okay, here is my week. If you have one meal off, it is not going to throw you off, right? Or you are going to a party. This is the one. I have three parties this weekend. This is the one that I'm going to go and enjoy some things. The other ones, I'm going to eat my normal foods right before. Maybe I'll have a couple of bites, right? A couple of tastes of everything. So even if you have a plan going in and you say, okay, I've eaten, now I'm having a couple of tastes of this before going in, it's still better, even if you go a little over, than if you would have gone hungry or you would have gone without a plan. Because if you have the plan, no matter with everything that you do in life, you're definitely going to be more apt to be successful. Making sure that you are thinking about why you do what you do. There is a reason that you started on this journey, whether it's health related, whether it's for your relationship to feel better about yourself, whether it is to have more energy for your kids. You have to have a super strong reason why you are doing this, because if that is ingrained in your head and you have that somewhere, before you go to the party, you think about what it is that you're doing. And people will say things to you, but they are not the ones that are going to be putting on your pants. They are not the ones that are going to be having to deal with the medications you're going to have to be taking because your health is impaired. They're not the ones that are going to be there when you can't be the parent you want to be for your kids and have the energy to do so. So, making sure that you're really tight with that, having a plan. And the one that our mindset coach always stresses is no stretchy pants. You never go to a party with stretchy pants because it'll be really easy. But if you keep those tight pants on, then it'll be a physical reminder why you need to, like, okay, we've had enough. Let's wrap this up.
I like that. I really do. And yeah, even her perspective of the other people, there's like this this quote as well, like, no one working harder than you is going to criticize you for putting in the work. So, like, right,
Absolutely.
another compet if you were to go to a social event over the holidays and there's another competitor, and you choose to not have alcohol, or you choose to not have seconds or whatever, that competitor or that other fitness enthusiast is not going to be like, what, why did you say no? It's only the people that have an issue themselves, or maybe it might be your family who's just not used to you making that choice, and they're like, I
Correct.
see what's happening. In the past, you had three helpings of this. I thought this was your favorite meal. And then just like, I think just really open communication. That's what I always try to encourage people to do, because we might feel awkward about it, or even just saying like, hey, I've chosen to take better care of my health, or I really
Correct.
want to make a shift in my life. And they're like, oh, that's cool. Maybe someone will even say, how can we support you? Or what are you doing? I'm also interested in making a change. So it's only, if someone listening to this is getting negative comments, and particularly like you're saying, like, for them, it's only an awkward moment, but it's gonna pass. And but if you say yes, for you're probably still gonna feel guilty about having broken your own rules or your own plan. You're gonna feel guilty about it tomorrow, maybe even the entire week. It might even spiral into something. So sit with the discomfort of like that second in that conversation with the other person, and then they're gonna move on, because everybody's self-centered,
Absolutely.
so they're just gonna think about
Absolutely.
themselves. So I think
True.
those are really good tips for the holidays, and like not setting the bars too high where we're like, oh, in December I'm gonna lose 5 pounds. Probably not that likely. So
Yeah.
yeah, and then I guess moving on to towards the end of December, how do you suggest people approach the new year when it comes to planning out the whole year, or even just January?
Yeah. I always tell people you want to think about, phases, right? You are going to be in a fat loss phase. You're going to be in a recovery phase and eventually get to your maintenance. So you want to look at the times of the year. When I tell people, lots of people start in January. That's all great and well and good. But if you have a, cruise that's set up for like February, that's a really short time span. You want to do a short little fat loss phase? Great. Do a short little fat loss phase, but have a plan on how you're coming in and how do you come out of it, right? Making sure that you're looking ahead to say, which time of the year do I want to be in a fat loss phase? And I let people know, like, when you're working in a fat loss phase, you want to think slow and steady, especially women that are, over 40, the crash diets. Most times, and most women will know that they're going to wind up back in the other direction. So, if you have something that you have a plan, you're able to take data, see what's going on, making sure you're giving yourself relief like diet breaks and refeeds to be able to extend the fat loss phase so that you can do it in a way that your body doesn't get stressed and you can get the most out of it without losing muscle. That would be, my suggestion. Usually, I tell people, you could do like 4 months. I think mine last year was, I made it pretty long. It was probably about 7 months of the year, but I went so slow. It was small little cuts. I gave myself diet breaks. I went small little cuts, that way. But I wound up getting super lean and I felt really good and my sleep was never disturbed. I maintained muscle at the end, like I really liked. It was, John was my coach. John Gorman was my coach and he did a great job. And I probably had the best look I've ever had because he used those types of things. I had refeeds every week. I made sure that I had my training congruent with my nutrition and it was great. And then I reversed my way out of it, recovered my body, and it's been great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's such a good sign when a coach, or that's one of the beauties of like having a long-term coach that knows you and your body so well, where you can have that communication of like, do we want to go short and aggressive because it just fits the best right now in this phase of life? I don't have that many other stressors going on. I'd rather be like in and out,
In and
getting.
out.
Or just like you have a ton going on, you have a lot of family things, you have a business to run and so on, like, okay, let's pivot into more moderate approach, but also making sure that we're still taking our breaks here and there and not just coasting and coasting. Because some people never get out of the coasting. They're like, oh, I look good, I want to look better, I want to look even better. And then they're like stuck with these. And by that time, your deficit calories might have become your maintenance calories. So
Correct.
we need to make sure we're still going through that reverse diet as well. But I really, really like that. I do think that's one of the big powers of coaching with someone for a long time, because you can honestly get to know that person and their body so well over a while. Going back a little bit, when it comes to the stress, I just had a few more questions there, because yeah, we talked about it, just overall how being in a calorie deficit is a huge stressor. Now, to the point of like, you have a busy life, what are some other things where people are like, oh no, I don't think I'm that stressed. Like, I don't think stress is affecting my fat loss or whatever. Like, have you ever seen that with clients, or maybe even experienced yourself, where you're like, no, girl, stress is a big factor in your life, actually?
Yeah, I think it's the people that have always been stressors. All the people that have always had everything going on, that the stress is normal. So I ask them certain questions, and how is the big thing is like, how is your libido? How is your energy throughout the day? How is your sleep? Well, I'm waking up at 3 a.m. Okay. I have no libido. Okay. I feel drained all day. I have no energy. Like, I'll wake up okay, and then, or I'll take a nap and I still feel exhausted. Some of these things, and I'll say, okay, or we could look at labs. That'll be black and white to be able to show what is going on in the body. But, those types of things, I say, okay, this is what I want you to do this week. I want you to focus on increasing your sleep, and we're going to shoot for 8 hours for the next week. I want you to be able to, we're only working this much time. We're going to pull your training down. When I pull training down and I see their weight drop, that is a big clue for me that, hey, this was an extra stressor. When we remove that extra stressor, your body dropped. So now this is telling me that we may need to also work on lifestyle changes and start being really aware that although it's normal to you, we may need to kind of slow things down and maybe do some, vagus nerve exercises, maybe do some breath work, maybe do some things before bed to be able to get better rest, doing some early morning walks, things like that, that we have different strategies that we can give them in order for them to incorporate in their day to start seeing better response.
Yeah, and I can relate to that so much. Like, I think for that type of person, type A person, like, hands up here. It is so hard to learn to appreciate the doing nothing and not feeling guilty about it, or like resting up more. And just to your point, like, I have, if you think like, oh, I didn't change anything, this is actually less stress than I had 10 years ago. But like, yeah, your body doesn't stay the same, your mind doesn't stay the same. And also, our bodies are very forgiving, but only for a certain amount of time. At some point, they're going to be like, I've done this for long enough. Going back to our work situation, I've done this long enough, but and now I need my vacation, or I need some rest. So that's kind of the body's same response as well. And yeah, I think nothing harder than telling, like, even if you tell that person, can we swap one or two of your normal training sessions for a yoga class? Or so often they're like, I hate yoga, it's so boring. You're like, that's why you need it.
Yeah, for sure.
Last year we did a I think it was like a 75-day challenge, and one of the aspects was to do a 3 minutes of nothing. Like, you could do a meditation, you could listen to piano music, but it was even allowed to be like a guided meditation, but it was not like, you couldn't have like, even walking, that wasn't, no, it was just 3 minutes of nothing. And that was the hardest aspect out of the entire challenge, was the hardest aspect for everybody, 3 minutes. And it's just like mind blowing how we always want to do, 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 do. But I really always try to encourage people and myself to look into like, what is hardest for you? And that's probably what you should lean into most. Like, if it's the hardest, if the thought of increasing your calories and going through a reverse diet is terrifying to you, That's probably
Probably
what
what you
it
need
is.
to do for sure.
If you are terrified of taking 3 minutes of stillness a day, this is where you need to look into, because that's where the biggest growth happens. Does it get easier with time? Not always. No, like honestly, I have been meditating for like 8 years by now, and every day I can feel myself thinking of excuses like, oh no, right now is not a good time. You probably shouldn't do that. Okay, Lisa, just do it. Just get it done. So it necessarily get easier, but it's still like that's where I think we need to look more into it, not just leaning into what comes automatic or what we're more inclined to do, what we're having most fun with. Because yeah, I mean, only working out a lot and so on can be a form of quote unquote comfort zone as well. You might think, oh, but I'm pushing myself, but I'm restricting my diet, or but I'm eating so clean and so on. That's a form of comfort zone as well that you have just created in your own little type A control freak type of way. So yeah.
Yeah, I've had like a transition because for me, it is really hard for me to meditate. I will close my eyes and I will think of 100 things that I have to do, and I'll wind up getting more anxious because I'm sitting here doing nothing and I have to go take care of these things. So I tell people, like, even if you have to start off that transition of, I'm going to sit and I'm going to do something that is not on my phone, that is not work related, that is not physically active, finding something. A lot of times I tell people, like, music is really helpful, that you can literally sit and just pick something that brings you joy, right? So pick a music that calms you down, that brings you, or it brings you joy, and that you can sit and, like, even just dance for a little bit and just chillax, not like high intensity dancing, obviously, but, or doing something like I found coloring or word finds, so I'm doing something, so I'm not thinking about all the things and I have to focus on what I'm doing, something like that. Or journaling. Journaling is really helpful for people. So you have all those thoughts that come out onto paper. And a lot of times, for some reason, when you write them down and you start looking at it and go, why is this even a thing with me right now? So you start just writing of, start writing down just without even thinking, just really writing and just having it all come out on paper. That's also something that's been really healing for a lot of people, and putting in them into a place that they can understand that calm is okay. And also sharing with them that if you do have children, they're looking at you. And when you are not caring for yourself and you are thinking about taking care of all the things, they are watching and showing them that it's okay to take time off for yourself. It's okay to put your needs first because that will allow you to be able to do more. So having that perspective also is something that has been really helpful for me and some of the clients as well.
Yeah, I really think that's such a good reminder that the kids are always watching, are always observing. And I think, yeah, it is important to be a good role model when it comes to showing a good work ethic and, putting in some effort into things. But at the same time, like if I think back at on my childhood or even in teenage years, I quite often thought to myself, I would have loved more unstructured time with my parents, like or just them being there and not just being busy bees and here and there and no, now we need to go here, but just like, yeah, unstructured time where you're like, okay, what do we feel like doing it today? And yeah, we really ourselves don't give ourselves enough unstructured time either. Yeah, myself again, guilty of that, but certainly working on it.
And I think all of us that are that type A, probably had a parent or some role model that was that type A. And that's what we see now when we start thinking about, you know what? I never had a time that wasn't planned, ready. We had this time, this is where we have to be. And it wasn't ever a time of just, you know what? Let's go do something without any plan. So
How do you feel like doing
it's something,
that?
it's definitely something that we have all been brought up that way. But if you think about it, and that's what is a result now. So making that effort to be that shift and that break in that pattern to say, okay, you know what? Let's try something different.
So, I mean, talking about something different, what are you personally looking forward to in 2026? I know it's still kind of early, but obviously, when it comes to periodizing nutrition and so on, maybe you already have your own kind of plan in mind, or even business-wise, what are you looking forward to?
Personally, I mean, Calvin wants me to jump on stage again. I don't know that I'm ready for that. It still may seem some time, but I definitely needed some time to heal my body, and working on stress has been really hard. and having to manage that. Business-wise, and it probably coincides with what we're trying to do, is we are really trying to be able to have more capacity for clients, right? So we have a team of coaches. So we have a coach now that she specializes in pre and postnatal training and nutrition, or postpartum training and nutrition. So we are creating programs for her. We have another client, old client, who is now a coach, and she is working with clients with reverse diets as well as shift workers, because she is a nurse herself and has competed. So showing people how to adhere to a nutrition plan and even start a nutrition plan and having something that is congruent with what they're trying to do. We're working with a lot of clients with autoimmune disorders, reverse diets, menopause. Obviously, we have all of our programs coming up. So I think we're just really looking to have our team up to par so we can be able to help more people and impact more people and continue to create programs like our Menopause Masterclass, as well as our Holiday Challenge. And again, the goal setting, I think, is going to be, that's our newest one that I'm super excited about, for the beginning of the year, of being able to, find a way that we can help people to manage their expectations and create goals and have plans so they can achieve it in the new year.
Oh, that's really the big one, the achieving it, right? Not being one of the 95% of people who set their goal and then forget about it by, what is it, January 9th or something that the studies even say. So
For
I
sure, for
think that's
sure.
crazy. And one thing that I'm excited about, I'm going to have your mindset coach, Amanda, here on the show in a
Yes.
few days as well. So I'm really looking forward to speaking with her. Because, I mean, in your own personal journey, you've already shared how big of a role a mindset shift throughout, especially the menopause transition, has played for you. But it really plays a role for anybody, especially if you have a large amount of weight to lose and literally stepping into a new identity, right?
Yeah, and I think it's for everybody. We have our clients, we have a monthly coaching call with Amanda, because even if you have 10 pounds to lose, right? Some of us have just had that mindset shift that I can't sit down and rest and relax, or I have an issue with, food and my relationship with food, or I have emotional eating issues, or, challenges with, I'm great during the week and on the weekends I go bananas. Really finding out, what your goals are, what your why is, understanding that connection and having, an understanding of why you keep starting and stopping, starting and stopping. Because a lot of times it's that mindset shift that needs to happen. So she's been an absolute vital part of most of our clients, and how they are working with us and having success.
I 100% believe that because even so often we're not even aware of the things that are holding us back. Sometimes I hear, I just can't have this and that in the house. Like if I start eating this, I cannot stop. And they've just accepted that as a full stop. I'm like,
Correct.
would you like that to change? Would you like to be able to just have like two pieces of chocolate and be happy with that? And they're like, yes, but I can't do that. I can't like I, if it's in the house,
Right.
I can't. I'm like, why do you think you can't like, right? That's something to dig into. Like we have this thing where we're like, I think this is me, or when I'm emotionally stressed, I just go for the ice cream. There is no other way, and this is how I deal with it. And like, okay, this is an invitation to dig into it. So I love that you have
Right.
someone who like specifically really addresses that and guides your clients and also I'm sure your team through that. So really wonderful
Absolutely.
goals for you and the whole entire Team Masters for 2026. I'm excited to see your progress, your continued progress, and just growth as well. So thank you so much, Brooke, for coming on and chatting with us and
Thank you
sharing
for
all
having me.
your wisdom with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Brooke. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.